FAA says the Zodiac issue is complicated. Two U.S. Army pilots have been lost in Iraq. And IAM says it's worked out a good deal for members laid off at Boeing. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, February 23rd, 2010. The FAA has released its report concerning the Zodiac CH-601XL and CH-650, which suffered several in-flight failures which could not be traced to any single root cause. The agency had suspended new airworthiness approvals for both models back in November. In its report, the FAA says the loads used by Aircraft Manufacturing and Design LLC and Zenith in designing the wing did not meet the ASTM standard for an aircraft weighing 1,320 pounds. It found evidence of aerodynamic flutter in accident aircraft, but says it's unclear whether flutter was the primary root cause of the structural failure or a secondary cause after some initial structural deformation of the wing. The FAA found the manufacturer's calibration procedures don't clearly explain how to adequately account for basic pressure source position error due to the location of the pitot-static ports, which could lead to owners inadvertently exceeding maneuvering or cruise speed limits. Finally, the report included observations from foreign investigators who found longitudinal stick forces can get light if overweight pilots or other loading results in an aft CG. The FAA says the manufacturer has designed modifications which appear to address buckling of the wing skin near the rib, which contains the aileron bell crank attachment point. The agency says its initial review suggests weight and speed envelopes for the CH-601XL need to be substantially reduced to limit the potential risk of exposure to structural failures. You can find more detail, including what the FAA wants to see the company do to resolve these issues, in the text version of this story, dated February 22nd, at aero-news.net. The U.S. Army is reporting two of its pilots died on Sunday when their helicopter went down at a base in northern Iraq. Military officials say there were no enemy forces in the area, and no hostile fire was reported. CNN reports the Hilo made a hard landing at Contingency Operating Base Spiker. The pilots were assigned to Task Force Marn. Their names had not been released as of our deadline. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, District 751, has announced a letter of understanding with Boeing, which will see the company offer incentives for voluntary layoffs as an approach to workforce reductions it plans in 2010. The union says the company has not informed it of any impending layoffs, but Boeing has told Seattle area media it wants to trim 2,000 positions later this year. The plan would offer one-time payments and continued medical and vision premium payments for 6 months. Members taking advantage of the incentives would lose their seniority and their right to be recalled. Boeing says it expects to achieve much of the reductions it wants through retirements, and District 751 President Tom Roblewski says the voluntary package will be, quote, especially appealing for those members who are planning to retire anyway. It's a win-win situation, and it allows those who want to leave another option, along with some additional benefits, unquote. Up next on ANN, yet another new helicopter avionics product debuts at Heli Expo. Sikorsky's S-92 reaches a fleet milestone, and Bell gets EASA approval to train pilots for the 429. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. Heli Expo 2010 is winding down in Houston today, and if nothing else, attendees will walk away with a dizzying array of new avionics products optimized for helicopter operators. Honeywell used the show to debut a new version of its AV8OR handheld GPS system for helicopters, calling it a low-cost way to provide situational awareness of weather, terrain, traffic, and airspace. Company VP Chad Cundiff observes, quote, For about $800, helicopter pilots get moving map navigation with terrain awareness, which they can use on the ground or in the air, making every trip simple from door to air to door. The unit can also wirelessly interface to traffic and weather information, unquote. The handheld interfaces to Honeywell's KDR-610 or the WeatherWorks portable receiver for weather, gets its traffic from Xeon Flight Systems' XRX portable receiver, and displays it all on a 4.3-inch screen. Sikorsky Aircraft says its S-92 helicopter fleet, which now totals 105 delivered aircraft, has topped 200,000 hours. The first S-92 was delivered in 2004. The highest time unit so far has over 8,000 hours. Sikorsky CEO Jeff Pino says his company could become the number one helicopter producer within the next few years, especially with a boost provided by the recapitalization of the U.S. Army's Black Hawk and the Navy Seahawk, adding to the company's order backlog. Pino says 2009 was strong for Sikorsky. Quote, if you look at how our competitors calculate their backlogs, we have some $12 billion of business. In the next few years, we could be the biggest helicopter company on the planet, unquote. Bell says its Bell Helicopter Training Academy has received European Aviation Safety Agency training approval for Bell's new Model 429. Academy Director Trey Wade explains the significance. Quote, in addition to being a significant step forward in support of this new airframe, adding courses and capabilities to our Part 147 maintenance training organization is needed for our continued success in the European market, unquote. The Academy is located at Fort Worth Alliance Airport, and the program features recent improvements including electronic classrooms, upgrades to composite maintenance trainers, and non-destructive inspection training for maintenance technicians. Still ahead, the concrete is getting poured at Spaceport America. Space exploration fans lobby federal lawmakers. And Able Flight has a new scholarship program for mechanics. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, February 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. The Obama 2011 budget is far from being cast in stone, but part of the new entrepreneurial vision for low Earth orbit it shares is now being poured in concrete. The New Mexico Spaceport Authority reports that Spaceport America's final concrete finish phase of runway construction is now underway, with completion expected this summer. Executive Director Steve Landine notes the spaceport, quote, lies strategically within the White Sands Missile Range restricted airspace call-up area, which provides a unique opportunity for customers to fly in either the National Airspace System or full restricted zone, depending on the mission requirements, unquote. The Space Exploration Alliance, which calls itself the nation's largest coalition of nonprofit space advocacy groups, wraps up its annual blitz of lawmakers' offices on Capitol Hill today. It's not clear how many SEA members participated, but the goal was to encourage lawmakers not to lose faith in the role of space exploration in assuring American technological and scientific preeminence in the 21st century. SEA does not have a published position on the Obama administration's cancellation of the Constellation program, at least not on its website. Its mission statement seems somewhat ecumenical, that a bold mandate for NASA serves to both reinvigorate the traditional aerospace workforce and industrial base, and foster job-creating entrepreneurial activity across the entire economy. The SEA claims 700,000 members. One organization in the coalition is the ShareSpace Foundation, founded in 1998 by one-time moonwalker Buzz Aldrin, who recently endorsed the Obama plan to increase the private sector's role in space exploration. Able Flight has become well-known in the past 2 years for its scholarships for disabled people to get their sport pilot certificates. Now, the organization is branching out into scholarships to enable them to earn a repairman certificate for light sport aircraft in only 3 weeks. That opens the door to work at an existing maintenance facility or something more entrepreneurial. Rainbow Aviation of Corning, California will do the training. The company's 120-hour course is offered several times a year. As with all Able Flight full scholarships, the award will cover training, travel, and lodging and testing fees. You can get more information and find an application form on the scholarships page at ableflight.org. And finally today, there's no way it's anything but a bummer when record snowfalls crush your hangar with your bizjet inside. But Avjet is at least offering to help aircraft owners whose planes were totaled by the recent damage at Dulles Jet Center get back in the air by waiving brokerage fees, an offer which could total hundreds of thousands of dollars in savings. Senior VP Andrew Bradley observes, quote, "Our unparalleled expertise in the Gulfstream and Global Express market uniquely positions us to be helpful at a time like this. Ever since the global economic crisis took hold in late 2008, the aviation community has shown that it can come together in times of need. In a similar spirit of collaboration, Avjet is glad to extend its professional services at no charge to the companies and individuals impacted by this unexpected turn of events," unquote. Oh yeah, and while you're waiting for your new plane to arrive, Avjet also points out it has one of the largest, most modern charter fleets in the world and is able to facilitate a competitively priced, seamless solution for travelers requiring large cabin private air transportation. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Steve Lasday of SAFE's FTS committee explains the basics of safety management systems and how they'll improve flight training. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.